Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Scott Hancock, and I host From Queer to Eternity, a new podcast exploring what it means to be queer, where we have conversations like this.
I look at younger generations and go, you can just Google this stuff.
The fact that the only mention of queerness was don't get AIDS.
If I'd been marrying a girl, that would not have happened.
Maybe we can find a universality that we weren't aware of before.
That's why this podcast is so great, because actually, well, I guess we just don't think to speak of this stuff, and yet it's part of our fabric.
From Queer to Eternity, available to listen to now from the Great Big Owl Company.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello! This is part two of this week's show. If you've missed part one, just get onto your pod box and listen to that first. It makes far more sense of the in-jokes and squabbles, which you're subsequently about to hear. Robert Webb and Diane Buswell are dancing to the Muppet Show, A Quick Step. This, I felt, was bad.
I wouldn't use the word bad. I would say it wasn't the nicest I've seen them dance, and it wasn't the most comfortable I felt watching them dance. But then there's definitely a... Rob was joking this week on social media, kind of like, Greg Wise gets Bond, I get fucking Kermit. You know, it's funny that, you know, they're making him be... Because he got to be serious last week, and I think he really enjoyed it. He did a tango... And he really got lost in the dance of the characters and loved it. And maybe he was just slightly peeved this week to have to be the butt of the joke again.
And I feel, for me, this is what people who don't like Strictly Come Dancing think Strictly Come Dancing is like.
Yes.
That there's a guy off telly dressed unconvincingly as a frog.
As a bat
dancing
frog,
with a pig woman to a song that a lot of people would use as a mobile ringtone. There was... I loved the song. I thought it was a sort of... just to have them... At the point where I began going, I don't like this. This doesn't make me feel comfortable, this dance.
Exactly, I wasn't comfortable.
The line came out, it's like a kind of torture to watch this show, and I was like, don't put that just there. This is not helping me feel better. It was, for me, weirdly scored in that they gave them a 6, a 6, a 7, and a 6.
Yeah.
I felt that if Judy Love was getting, you know, 4s, it seemed to me a blatantly worse performance, you know, both in the choreography and delivery than that.
I am surprised. I think what I'm getting so far from Rob, and full disclosure, I've put 20 quid on him to win because the odds were really good 2 weeks ago.
You could have bought an injunction against me for that.
I know, right? But Mark, you've never even given me calls to, like, I don't need to spend the money, I can save it. But I'm happy to let Karen take that one, or, you know, whoever.
I am busy with those. Yeah, it's true. My apologies.
I think, yes, Rob, because of the dancing we've seen him do before on TV, he has this incredible natural, you know, he unleashed it on that Comic Relief program and just made everyone kind of look suddenly at him. Like, we were really shocked by how this sort of slightly, you know, sort of low-key looking white guy was suddenly pulling out the Michael Jackson moves. I'm seeing in Strictly after maybe 3 weeks is, you know, that the discipline imposed on him, despite his talent, is kind of making him look a little bit, don't know, maybe just not relaxed yet. I'm not seeing ease and relaxedness.
He's second guessing. He's
it's only week 3, but I'm not seeing someone giving themselves over to the joy of dance, because I think there's too much sort of tension within him.
Almost what he needs is 1 week where they just go, that was phenomenal. And then he can get 9s, punch the air, and get that done.
Maybe they do, like, you know, couple's choice or something. And so if he gets a chance to get there, and they can shove in some of the Michael Jackson spins and just let him do Rob. And maybe that'll just, it needs to unhook something in him. He's a bit too buttoned up.
Yeah, one of the horrible things.
Let go.
One of the horrible things as well for him is because he's the comic, they always sort of go, and your dance is going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, the audience are going to laugh. And the difficult thing is you go out. No, it's a lot of extra added pressure. There's a harder thing to come over. So as you say, last week when he did his, you know, beautiful sort of, he looked like Vladimir Putin. When he did that, I think the relief in that is you're going, well, I only at least now have to dance. I don't have to dance and be funny.
I know.
It's twice as much stuff going on. And but yeah, I found this bad. Every time it cut to them applauding in the audience afterwards and Diane still had her pig nose on, I was like, it's bad memories.
It was really nice though, because obviously David Mitchell was there, his comedy partner from Pete Show and the sketch shows and stuff, with his wife Victoria, who's currently on Taskmaster. And it was really nice to see that they were really enthusiastic and kind of on their feet and cheering him on. And I look at Rob and I think, come on, where's Rob? Where's that kind of...
Yeah, I totally agree.
Obviously, the guy's been through a hell of a... in the last 2 years, he had heart surgery and he's worked his way back to health and changed his life. But I'm just looking forward to, I just want to see him lose his composure a bit and...
Yeah.
Chuck some Michael Jackson spins in there and then
definitely
maybe he'll be Rob again. Yeah.
I love the fact the thing I learned in this bit was that Shirley, she said, I love frogs, I collect frogs.
that was so great.
I mean, Shirley's frog collection, sitting at home, all those little China frogs on hammocks and, leaning back. I mean, what a sight her house must be.
We once stayed in a hotel in Northumberland. We were driving around the country on honeymoon and we stayed in it, and we still called it to this day the Chicken Lady Hotel. Do you remember Kids in the Hall? There was like a chicken lady who used to go on dates on dating website. Anyway, and it was just this incredible hotel, an old one in somewhere like, I can't remember now, Hexham or somewhere. And every room had ornamental chickens of every colour and type.
Oh, amazing.
And then the bedrooms, chickens. It was just fucking chicken mental. I've never forgotten it. It still haunts me to this day. I'm imagining now Shirley's house is that with frogs.
Dripping with them. Dripping with ceramic frogs. I do slightly sort of think, there's a part of me that goes, I would never ever live it down if I accidentally let slip on national television that I collect frogs. I would sort of, but Shirley's from a different generation, isn't she? A generation where, cheap little ceramic things off funfairs were the very height of fashion. like my nan. Dancer number six, Greg Wise, dancing with Karen there. James Bond, Paso Doble.
I absolutely loved this, and maybe it's because I absolutely love Greg, and they put Emma Thompson in the training video, but I just really enjoyed this. I did go to see Bond this week. And was kind of all, to be honest, he walked out in that kind of like black polo neck with sort of strapping on him. Mm. And he just cut such a beautiful figure. The man is beautiful. It can't be denied.
Bond.
He might want to get the 1650 ready for his restraining order for me. because I just think he's dreamy.
It did make me wonder if he was ever in the frame to be a Bond.
He must have been. He's such an obvious kind of around the Dalton era. Mm. I mean, he's younger than Dalton, obviously, by 20 years. But
yeah, I suppose it's all about timing, isn't it? You've got to have the right timing. And if there's someone still in the job for another two films, by the time it's your turn, you're 2 years too old. The old Clive Owen paradox, isn't it? Poor man. But I love the fact that they obviously didn't have the budget for like an Aston Martin. And so they got an obsolete jet ski from
the
70s.
They spent it on a DeLorean, didn't they?
But that jet ski, I was like, that is the absolute... I look at that and I go, James Bond. So a great little bit of working it through. It was busier than it needed to be, I thought this.
Perhaps.
But that was okay. I've begun to put my finger on why I find when Greg Wise comes up, my heart sinks slightly. And it's because he always... It's not because of his dancing. It's not because of him. It's because he radiates a sort of certain sadness whenever he's speaking. Like, he's just sort of a bit sorry that, he couldn't do it better for you. And whenever I see him, I'm like, you seem really, melancholy. When he was on this sort of, Welcome To show, he was all gags and silly and fun. And whenever you see him now, he looks a bit sort of down in the mouth.
Mark,
and
I think you're projecting. I think this is your own inner sadness.
Just want him to be happy.
Look,
I just want him to be happy.
Thompson, he's dancing with Karen. You just want to be him. Admit it.
I want to dance with Kai now. No. Now, Now everything's metrosexual.
But anyway, his dance did go. It went down pretty well for week three, considering that he's not one of the very highest ranking dancers.
Yeah.
I thought the choreography was brilliant. I loved Karen's choreography on this. And Anton gave him a 7. So did Shirley. Craig and Motsy 6s. But they admired a lot about it. They're saying his top half is good, but under the, as Anton says, the waterline, he needs to be getting his legs. The legs aren't doing what the top half is, basically.
No, it's going to be sad when he goes, but he is definitely going to go. He is not going to win this series, Julia. I will put £16.50 on that.
I don't even think he'll be in the final, but I would like to see him do, I mean, they won't be in Blackpool this year, but I'd like to see him do Blackpool week or whatever that is. I want definitely Halloween. Maybe he'll go at Halloween, I don't know. It's another couple of weeks, isn't it? But I really like watching him, and I think I always love her choreography as well, so I'll be sad whenever Karen doesn't get to dance, the main show anymore. But I think he's got more to give, and he's definitely going up. That's his highest score yet, so he's gone up every week.
He makes me feel sad. A little bit just in between here where Claudia apologised for how bad some of the jokes were in the thing. just a little, if anyone is listening from the show. I mean, rather than referencing the fact they're bad, an attempt to sort of claw back, you know, some dignity. Just let's get rid of trying to do the jokes.
Yeah,
we don't need jokes. It's a dance issue. You don't need. It's not like they go, got to have a script writer on Match of the Day. Got to have loads of people firing it off.
But as you pointed out many times, you know, your sheer unyielding hatred for Tess and her straightforward light entertainment Saturday night presenting style. Claudia's there. She's the pepper in the kind of omelette, isn't she? You need a little bit of...
But she's funny. Claudia. I'd almost say, Claudia, you do it. You do it on Radio 2. It's you. You'll be fine. You just have fun. But
yeah, I'd charge them more to come up with my own jokes. And it would be funny, no question. She's brilliant.
She could be adding an extra $13,000 a year onto her salary by taking one of the writer's jobs. I find it really odd on a show that is going, thanks to our choreographer, thanks to the wonderful makeup people, thanks to the costume people, that when it comes to the script, they're like, oh, that was crap.
Yes, it's a bit cheeky, isn't it? Like, don't reference it at all, or you know.
Yeah, just get rid of them. Just get rid of them and go, hey, guys, we're here. That was incredible. How did you do? Claudia is funny. She'll be funny. We don't need to hear Tess doing gags that nobody has any conviction or interest in.
Yeah,
you know?
I do know what you mean. With Tess, I tend to agree. She's a straight person, but also, she doesn't need to be the foil to Claudia's. Claudia can just go and riff on her own.
I think Tess is a perfectly good presenter. It's boring and old-fashioned, and it's not for me, but obviously it does work. But I don't think anyone could disagree that she is a deeply, deeply unfunny person.
Don't hurt you, Mark.
Tess Daly, every week, when she's trying to join in with gags. Dancer number 7 was Tilly Ramsey with Nikita, and they did a jive to a song from Hairspray.
They did, and I have to say, I still can't quite get a hold on how I actually feel about Tilly. I'm just not sure. Like, it's been several weeks now. They got, was it 2 8s and 2 9s last week? This week, it was 3 7s and a 6. So they did take a dive, a traditional movie week dive this week. I thought it was pretty good. You know, jiving is hard. Her legs seem to be going with as much elasticity as her dance partner, which is always the tell, you know, whether... Craig immediately said it was heavy of foot and it was haphazard footwork and all that kind of stuff. I kind of don't care whether she does well or not, which is awful.
Same here.
I'm just finding her a little bit bland. I think it was Maisie or someone last year before? There's always one younger female who I just think, give me something, give me anything to get hold of, but I'm not sensing who she is at all.
No, she's very, very eager to please, and she's obviously putting the hours in and everything,
definitely. Well, she's got the hours to put in, I think, you know.
Exactly that. I mean, because let's not forget, she's not someone famous. She's not a famous person.
I think she is. She started university, but I'm not sure how, you know, much leeway they're giving her to just not go to lectures.
Well, unless it's like ITV university, it's not actually television. Look, if they said to you, Julia, you're going on next series, you would work far harder than anybody else in that show because you knew there was a mountain to climb between perception about getting people to vote for you, and you would want to go, if this is my shot, then I'm going to give it all I can.
Sure,
and that's what she's doing. You can't knock her for it, but it doesn't... I, again, no emotional connection for me at all.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly that. It's like, what have I got to plug into here in terms of my engagement with you as a performer on the show? If you're not famous, which, like you said, lots of them aren't, it doesn't matter. Just make... Basically, it's really mercenary. It's make me love you.
Yeah, and, completely.
She's really hung back in terms of her personality. She's so young as well. This feels really unfair. She's like 18 or something.
Well, that's it. That's it. And an 18-year-old, you know...
Who is she?
A wonderful reference.
Just bare your soul. Who are you?
She did end up doing it so fast that there was a bit where they obviously lost the thing, which, as everyone said, you know, don't worry about mistakes. You know, you were trying. But she got a smack in the chops and just carried on like a trooper.
Yes,
and,
which is amazing.
You know, I sort of, you know, great, good for you. But as you say, I did watch that. And normally, if that had been AJ, I'd have gone, you know, what a remarkable thing to just not let that put you off. Whereas with her, I sort of go, that happened and then it carried on.
I feel nothing.
Feel nothing. Nothing at all.
Shirley did say, we're forgiving all mistakes this week because it's week three. Like, that's a thing.
I know.
That's
nonsense.
Not a thing.
And then she didn't as well. She didn't do that for anyone else. So it was just a bit weird. Starts 8, Rose and Giovanni doing a foxtrot to Titanic.
Now, if you didn't cry, Mark, after this dance, or even during it, then I doubt your credentials as a human man. Did you?
I know that the grannies really like these sorts of dances,
Julia. Oh, for fuck's sake, Mark.
I thought it was... I really enjoyed it, yeah. It didn't move me emotionally, but again...
Oh, my God.
But I think that's the trope for me of just it's Titanic, and I as a 40-year-old man, I have to look at it and go, this again.
Are you saying after watch... So basically, for me, the detail that made me cry was, in the training video, you know, she's... been doing all these kind of syncopated, quite racy dances.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at Gio's face because...
And she was talking about the movement of the body. Yeah.
And she said, I can't look at him. And then, and she said it a couple of times and then the post-dance interview, I'm now listening to his body. I'm feeling the movement of his body. And that's true dance, like to your partner.
Yeah, completely,
dance.
Completely.
Feeling and reacting to your partner. And then when they dance, and it was so pared back, just no bloody awful Celine Dion aping, just... The piano, pretty much solo. I couldn't really hear much else in the way of instrumentation. And just the two of them. And then at the end, because lots of her castmates are just doing the, you know, the deaf clapping, sort of like twinkling their fingers in the air because there's no point clapping for someone who's deaf.
Yeah.
So the whole studio was kind of doing that and it was just really quiet.
Completely.
This wave of emotion. Oh, God.
The thing that I've really felt about it was I felt it was so, and it just sounds like a cliche, but it was fresh and it was light. And it felt like fairies moving around each other. And I thought that was lovely because everything about it should have been saccharine and heavy,
I know.
You know, and it wasn't. And it was beautifully done. And there were two people lost in a dance there with everybody watching absolutely, you know, spellbound. But what I loved as well, when it did end, it was almost like people weren't quite sure whether it ended. And even, you know, in the clapping that you did get, there were sporadic claps and nobody was quite sure. And what that felt like was people didn't want to break the spell.
That was
something transformative and amazing. Normally, I would hate this sort of stuff, but this was done so well at such a good level. And you're right, it was unfussy and it wasn't heavy and it wasn't, you know, really obvious and they weren't necking, you know. It was done so beautifully and it was lovely. But yeah, I didn't find it moving, Julia, but that's because I'm 45 and I have a 3-year-old and I have 2 hours of sleep every night. If I found things moving anymore, I would be crying all day long.
Actually, that's true. You'd never bloody stop, would you? I thought the 4.9s, I thought somebody was going to up their 10 paddle because it was so beautiful.
And it deserved it.
Next week.
Yeah,
so
but
good.
It did deserve it. And there is that thing about, you know, I think sometimes you have to just go, is this a... strict dance competition or is this Saturday Night Entertainment? And that dance should have got a couple of tens so that they could have gone, I got a 10. And that was, but yeah, they got 36 and that was the highest score of the series up to this point, wasn't
it? Then, yeah, and I really did enjoy. Again, nicotine patch now fully functioning and flowing sweetly through his veins. Craig signing amazing.
Which was great.
Nice touch, mate. Nice touch.
It really was. And you know, when everyone's doing the jazz hands and standing up, it can occasionally look, because it's such picture because the applause sign is jazz hands, it does look a bit like people are going, is that all you've got? Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Jazz hands for you dancers. But yeah, no, it was
lovely.
It was lovely. It was really, really lovely. It was really, really nice.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, I'm Tom, and I make a podcast where I log in to celebrities' Amazon accounts. It's called...
What a brilliant idea for a pod. There's no original pods out there anymore, but this genuinely is.
Oh, thanks, Ben Bailey-Smith. Anyway, it's called...
This is good, isn't it? It's clever, this podcast. You should do more.
Thanks, Kerry Godleyman. It's called...
This is such a great idea, by the way. What great podcast.
Shappy Corsander, you're too kind. The podcast is called...
It's biographical. You can get all sorts of information out of people. This is a very good idea.
Thank you, Nick Helm. It's called My Mate Bought a Toaster.
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Thanks, Alex Horn. Can you tell your friends?
Dance 9 was Ugo and Oti dancing to Moana.
And they did like a couple's choice, which is, did they ever actually nail down what that style was?
I believe that style is Moana. It's,
I mean, it's Moana style of dance.
The Moana stomp.
And they showed a lot of heartstring stuff with the cute kids and
the daddy
getting emotional. At, you know, man gets emotional at having had, you know, his sperm up a woman. Sorry, it was really harsh. They were really cute kids, but it's like they couldn't find anything else to do heartstrings with this week.
No.
He had a terrible tragedy right at the beginning of the series and his dad died and he went to his dad's funeral and then went straight off the dance floor the same fucking day.
Oh, yoy.
It felt like they'd been standing there with him for an hour with onions and just like, you know, pulling nose hairs out until he eventually cried at the thought of being a father. It's like, can we just leave the X Factor shit? I can't bear it.
Completely. And that whole thing about going, well, Moana means so much to me because I've seen it so many times, you know, it just, that is sort of the worst part of being a parent, is the incessant, repetitive thing. Yeah. I'm lucky in the way that my child's obsessed with Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University. And I've watched them 900 times, and every time I sit down and go, not this again, within a minute and a half, I'm going, love this film.
Feels about my heart.
I don't sit there, and when someone goes, oh yeah, Mike Wazowski's a big green eye, I go, it's just silly. They showed a little clip of Moana, it being a film from the last 20 years, so one that might have, you know, been confusing to the audience. But they showed a tiny clip of it, and they obviously had to do a bit of fair dealing. So they had to give a review of it to have it be included.
Law. But if you're going to use clips, then fair dealing is basically qualitatively judging it, and then
you basically have to review the film in it can be a very minor way, which it was here. So Ugo did the great line, which I loved. He said, "Dwayne Johnson does a great all round performance in this film, and when I think of my kids, I'm so proud." And they just shunted it together, going, "Get the fair dealing in,
really,
and then go into the bit we're doing." Doesn't need to make sense, but just get past
it. Say this, we need the cliff. It's not really
Look, I like him a great deal. I thought this was a decent dance. This felt to me like in any other series, as a week three dance, this would have been sensational.
Yeah.
The problem is the quality, the standard this year is just so high that this again, it's disappeared into the ether. completely. As it was going on, you were forgetting it.
Dances. Yes, I completely agree with you. He is really likeable. They don't need to hang that extra kind of emotional baggage on him. I just think he's fine on his own. I know he's a sports person. That's they sometimes struggle to connect with the audience as quickly. But I think he's doing fine without that. He doesn't need it. He got 3 8s and a 7 from Craig, which is his highest score yet. So he's definitely on the up. Yeah, like you said, I think that Craig said he lacked musicality, but he's still a fantastic dancer. I couldn't quite put those two things together.
No, that to me also speaks about
chanting his name. They all seem to really like him in the studio.
And I think he seems like a smashing guy. But when you talk about Craig contradicting himself sort of within the thing, that slightly talks about the fact that you know, this dance doesn't really make an impression. You don't particularly like it, but you don't quite know why. But that's just because everything else is better. For me, it felt like a number from a musical rather than a dance that you were doing in front of an audience. It felt like they were going to run off, and then on comes, you know, someone dressed as a hyena who starts going, so where do we go? You know, whatever. I've not seen Moana.
No hyenas in Moana, but fair enough. Yeah.
Comes
on dressed as a surfboard, or, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to watch it if it's not got a hyena in, to be brutally frank.
Really? It's actually really good. The Rock's
the one note I've given Moana is more hyena. Not done. Shame. But yeah, look, he's not going to be a winner. He's not going to be a finalist, but he is perfectly creditable. He is not in no way embarrassing himself, and he comes across like a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, agreed.
We can't all be AJ Adudu.
No, would that we could. Would that we could.
Dancer 10, even just for an hour. Dancers number 10, Tom and Amy doing a jive to Back to the Future. Back after the COVID?
Exactly. They look in fine fettle. They've clearly recovered from whatever that was. And obviously Back to the Future, his band is called McFly, after Marty McFly, the character in Back to the Future. So this was a nice bit of, what's the word? I want to say
joined up thinking.
Not that. Yeah. It all landed nicely for the producers there. And it's a jive. So, you know, obviously he's got his energy back after the old COVID, because the kicks and flicks were very impressive, I thought.
They really were. Shirley just kept saying the word nice over and over again. Nice moves by a nice boy, with a nice Amy. And I just, for me, it was nice. It was the sort of thing that maybe series 5, this would have been the, winning dance, and everyone would have just gone on about how great it was. But it felt for me, you know, just it lacked something. It was great for what it was, but I begin to sort of go, I feel like I'm already seeing a ceiling.
Yes, I know. I'm sort of with you there. I think before the start of the series, I imagined he'd do incredibly well and was one of those. Didn't his bandmate won it, didn't he, with Alien?
That's right. Yes. That's the Harry Judd.
Yes, that's right. And I just thought he'd be. The thing is, he's not worse than I thought. He's just kind of, I think you're right. I think he's already plateauing, and it's only done 2 dances. Like, I'm not sure where he's got to go from here. It doesn't feel like he's going to get better. It was really weird as well, because for a jive, normally you start with all the energy and then you kind of run out of puff. And
yeah.
Your legs get sort of heavier and you get more flat-footed. But Craig said he started a bit flat-footed and then he got better and better. Which is slightly confusing. A lot of them seem to agree that side by side he was fab, and then in hold not so good. So clearly the hold is what he needs to work on. But I think you're right. Again, in a field of 14 dances, like, oof, yeah, it's pretty, yeah, but
there are people who are younger than him who are better. There are people who are his age who are going to be doing things like the ballroom better just because they have better forms.
It'll just be more memorable.
It must be funny to be a pop star who's, you know, you go out and you have this adulation from everyone, you come and Strictly Come Dancing, and you sort of go, am I not that popular? We next had Adam Peaty and Katya dancing a rumba to Avatar, the biggest movie of all time. Still only big on Strictly, as you say. You know, they bring
I've
out this.
I've never seen it, and I don't plan to change that. Mark,
I saw it in the cinema because you got to wear glasses. Right. I remember that being a big part of its appeal. But even then, I was thinking, this is very stupid.
what's the thing called it again? Unobtainium.
Unobtainium, yeah.
That's one of the worst fucking, like, you'd put that in a dummy script and then just get rid of it when you were ever going to show it to anybody else for sheer embarrassment of thinking of unobtainium.
Imagine saying to someone, here's my script, and you go, what's it about? And you go, blue aliens. You just go, no, dumb, no, thank you, off you go. The unobtainium in the, no, you no, just, you're really just double compounding it. I mean, look,
this is an awful song. Whatever they were dancing to, is it Lewis? It is one of the least memorable, likeable songs I think I've ever heard on Strictly.
Completely.
Even a Strictly band couldn't make me like this song, and that's
no.
something.
And when they have to go for that thing of going, we've got some very exciting AR. So we've gone from virtual reality to what, artificial reality?
Artificial
is that a
reality.
Step up? It's going to be Strictly level artificial reality, which is going to be, you know, one step up from the subtitles,
looks
isn't
like
it?
A load and, of big mushrooms with all net curtains hanging off them.
Yeah, we've done the jellyfish using a dustbin lid and some bubble wrap. And it was, I mean, did it improve the dance? No. Did it relate to the dance? No. It was just there because they've got those people on retainer, and
exactly.
as you say, they didn't have anything to do.
They've been idle for weeks now.
Yeah,
and they also did that frog during the Shrek routine.
Oh yes, that's right. They put
probably
a frog
Shirley,
in.
Shirley, I'm guessing they had a huge frog.
Shirley desperately trying to take that home, not being able to work out that it's made of atoms and pixels. I keep grabbing it, but it's like it's not there. Adam Peaty had the problem that he couldn't ripple. And you need to ripple within this dance.
And you know, week three rumbas are just always going to be a bit shit, aren't they?
No
man can pull a rumba out of the bag on week three and be that convincing. Maybe Kelvin could with OT, you know, back in the day. But apart from that, no, it's just too technical and difficult.
They mentioned as well that, you know, because he didn't have a shirt on and he was just, you know, with his chebs out covered in blue paint.
Yeah.
But the undulating really is shown up by the fact that if you're all muscle, it's not really going to undulate.
It's literally the only time Shirley's told someone to like put a shirt on, it hides a multitude of sins. Like, mate, maybe it was the blue that put her off. She's probably racist or something for blue people. But, yeah, she wasn't finding his chest that fascinating this week, was she?
No, I think, you know, the funny thing about it was because he looked so good as an Olympic athlete, because he looked so good in it, it looked for me like he was a character in a film who was pretending he couldn't dance before really dancing.
Oh, no.
And it felt like that, where you were just waiting for it to click in, and it didn't, because life's not like the movies, you know, unless it's like Avatar, which is the truest representation of life I've ever seen. This was the bit as well where they cut in the audience to Diane with her pig's nose on, and I mean it's so funny, if you didn't know she dressed as Miss Piggy, sort of, okay, is that a punishment for like the dancer who's the worst?
Genuinely, they put a pig face on her.
Oh, it was
really hate her.
Creepy and weird, slightly sexy. Dancers 12, too many. Katie and Gorka doing Cruella de Vil in an American Smooth. I wrote these before we found out the result. I think let's save the result, shall we, till right to the end. I don't think we actually said who went. So let's save the result end, Julia.
We can't put this out until...
I mean, why would I have begun talking about it right here?
I know, right?
I mean, it could be for any number of reasons, certainly not because seeing Katie's name reminded me we hadn't said that she'd been kicked out.
Yeah, can we just say that she got kicked out and then we'll move on?
There we are. Yeah. I wrote these notes obviously before that happened, watching it on Saturday. And she is the one that I just have always felt least invested in.
Really?
The reason she never ever does anything to surprise you.
Less than
she's,
Tilly.
Yeah, in a weird way, because I have an emotion with Tilly, which is sort of vague disgruntlement. whereas with Katie, I was like, oh, she could be good. And then you go, oh, she's not as good as I thought she would be. And then you watch her the next week and you go, she seems to have not got any better. And if anything, just a bit worse.
She has struggled to stand out. I think when I first met her, you know, on the kind of the show where you're introduced to their partners, I couldn't quite work out, you know, because they're sort of casting roles, you know, they're kind of casting particular roles. I couldn't work out who she was supposed to be. I thought she's the young soap star, so she's going to go a long way, or she's the, you know, the funny one who's a bit wacky but turns out to be a really good dancer. I couldn't really work out what her part in this was, and she
100%
found it. I think they should have told her, right, we need to keep this simple, you need to be this personality, this character, play up this side of your thing, and then people will remember you and know who you are. I mean, she looked fantastic, that kind of slightly drunk, it was almost like Miss Hannigan does Cruella, but she I thought she looked really, really good, and attacked some of that dance with a real kind of, she got a character in there, and an American suitor,
you know,
she was kind of,
I still feel it's like the handbrake is stuck on with her. She looks the business, you know, all the kit, can't do it for shit sort of thing. And she comes out and you sort of go, why aren't you making this massive? Why isn't your mouth, you know, the size of a letterbox in this bit? Why aren't your eyes chucking out? Why aren't your hands in talons? Just that. I just find her
That's what they said. She needed finishing, and there wasn't any kind of finishing of things and neatening them. Yeah, Emma Thompson, who was in the, you know, the prequel Cruella, which was obviously because they said it was from there, but the song she danced to was definitely from 101 Dalmatians.
Oh yeah, Cruella de Vil. Yeah,
Emma Thompson gave her a standing ovation, and she said she was very nervous because she knew that Emma was in the audience. So that was a nice thing. The judges were a bit mixed. Craig gave her a 5, which felt about right, to be honest. Normally he undermarks, but that I felt was kind of right. Anton and Shirley were 6s, and Motsi was over generous with a 7. I don't know necessarily if I'd, by the end of the show, I don't think I'd predicted that she'd be the one to go. I thought it might be Ugo possibly, but
For me, it was the best result. I suppose so. 100%. This was never going to get any better. It was the same every week, and it was flat.
But yeah, I don't sense that she's finding her inner dancer. I think she's just gamely chucking herself around the floor, but she's not picking up technique that well. In the way that AJ seems to be a sponge for technique, she's just sort of having fun, but it doesn't come out in her performance that she's trained really hard.
No. The 13th dance of the night, unlucky 13, Reese and Nancy are doing commercial dance to Spider-Man. Yeah. I mean, what a dream.
He's playing like Miles Morales and obviously just looked superb. Mm. I thought Nancy's look in this was so cool. She looked awesome.
She looked great. And it's the first time where I feel like she's had a character in it that I've gone, I'm aware of Nancy. Just brilliant. I mean, it was so good, Julia. It was so good.
There's always that pair, like in every series, it seems, where they usually would be Jeanette and someone, there's a young, really bouncy kind of coiled spring of a dancer who then meets their match in a celebrity. So someone equally young, energetic, never runs out of batteries. The two of them together they're such an energetic combination.
I think of this as the Johannes effect, which is sometimes when it's the pros' first season, they want to win it every single bit as much as the person they're dancing with.
It could be like Nancy and Kai in the final quite easily with their celebrities. Quite happily.
I did like the fact that they made a big thing about saying what kid didn't dream about becoming a superhero.
And
they had Reese saying, you know, that Spider-Man, you know, was one of the very few characters of color within the superhero world. And I do think they needed to give that a little bit of explanation, because most people would have gone, Spider-Man's not black.
Yes, exactly. You know, the people who haven't seen Miles Morales, which is only a couple of years ago. So it's not like Reese. I mean, Reese is young, but he didn't grow up watching Miles Morales as Spider-Man.
No, I checked this as well. Completely that. So Miles Morales, who is the black Spider-Man, if you like, had come along in 2011. Yeah. Well, Reese would have been 18 when that happened. And they really pressed it like this was young Reese's, you know, entrance. Spider-Man is you know, to most people, is going to be Tom Holland in the Avengers films. And the Marvel Universe. So I thought they should have set that in a bit. Again, people would have been watching that and just going, well, this is ridiculous. They're saying Spider-Man's black now.
If you want to do a fair dealing clip, that's probably the best place to spend your fair. You don't have to spend money, do you? But to put a fair dealing clip in, because a lot of people, wouldn't have known he was talking about that particular film. And it probably helped.
Look, part of the beauty of Spider-Man is he wears a mask, isn't it? You know, he is anyone once you put the mask on. And, look, this was great. I mean, commercial dance.
Mark, he couldn't be you. That would be stretching it a bit too far.
How do you know I'm not Spider-Man,
Julia?
You
don't mind me saying.
How dare you?
They have to do like legal checks before they give you the, you know, the mask.
No, they don't. No, you can make your own mask these days. they over-jazzed the theme, but who did not want to do a dance on television to the original Spider-Man theme?
I know. That's confusing because there are some really banging tunes in the Miles Morales Spider-Man that they could have danced to, but fair enough, they went for a kind of slightly odd jazzy version of Spider-Man.
I thought they were slightly over jazzing it in the actual vocal delivery as well, in a way that the original Spider-Man, it was quite fast, but they were like, no, let's take it at a swing tempo while they still do really fast commercial dance. The fact that you didn't watch that and go, that gave everyone epilepsy across the country, was testament to how good it was.
I mean, so impressive. And I think because from the first day when you saw him pull a couple of moves, you know, the introductory episode, he pulled a couple of freestyle moves. I was like, oh, someone's got some street dance going on there. And sure enough, like, this is his dance. He was absolutely fantastic.
And
those standing jumps from off the floor to about 6 feet in the air. Absolutely astonished.
Make no mistake, he is a genuine Spider-Man. There is, mum is, I believe, from the Caribbean. Father is from a web.
Radioactive spider.
From a radioactive spider web science plant.
That's, now, think about it. Why didn't they make Robert Webb be Spider-Man? That would surely...
We would have lost this. That's the thing.
The joke writers would have had a field day with their terrible jokes.
Wouldn't it? Oh, man. But, I mean, we wouldn't have seen Diane Boswell dressed as a pig. So it was a 9, a 10 and 2 9s, deeply undermarked by all the judges. Even Motsi, who gave it a 10.
But they knew what dance was coming next. And I think in terms of the entertainment... of the evening and the pacing of the show, that was probably the right thing to do because we all needed a big old jizz at the end.
Well, yeah, and I mean, look, any other show, if you'd have said, let's put on a dance after the Spider-Man one by Reese, you'd have gone, are you insane?
And then you remember who's next. And then it makes all the sense in the world.
It's John and Johannes coming on to do a Pirates of the Caribbean pasodoble.
Oh, God, incredibly hot.
I went back over the last couple of weeks and I had a look to see who John was on the Great British Bake Off. I don't know who this man is, but whoever he is, he's killed John from the Bake Off and he's stolen his identity.
I think he's eaten him because he's... I was saying this to Joel last week. He's at least a foot or more taller than
at least
one Bake Off. Obviously, he's got muscles on his muscles now. The brown hair is gone. The kind of... Johannes did say, like, oh, no, he seems confident, but he's really underconfident. But my God, he's a different person.
If I was a policeman and I watched Strictly Come Dancing, I would go, I'm definitely going to have to arrest this guy for probably murder. But I'm probably not going to do it until after Christmas. Because
let's wait.
I mean, it really, really is good. I mean, you know, a musical pirate, same-sex... Tick, tick, tick.
Good.
Here we go. This is going to be amazing.
Absolutely loved. Again, Anton, of all the judges... often channels mostly what I'm thinking. He's always able to articulate the thing you think no one's going to say, and then he does say it.
Yeah.
And he said, I thought this was going to be really camp.
Yeah, a bit camp, and I think he said, yeah.
It was just the best thing I've seen all night, and he's overwhelmed. And Craig just said, that was seriously hot. I haven't written anything down. Like, he was just inflamed by
the fact that Motsi broke all of the rules by just saying to them in that opening bit, you are definitely going to get a 10 tonight, which I thought was really funny to sort of just go, be in no doubt.
They're going to have told her after the show, like, could you not do that? It's like, it's more of a jizz moment if you don't say.
Yeah, but this was, I mean, look, it was so good, wasn't it? I mean, if there was one criticism I have of it, it's that it lacked a big moment and a big end because of the nature of the music they chose.
Actually, yes, when that little shitty little glitter cannon goes off at the end, when they kind of come down on either side of the cannon, a real, like a big bang. You need like a...
They should have gone for a build, you know, whatever it would be. Yeah. But instead it just sort of went and fade. And that was a bit annoying. And then they just had to sort of... There were quite a lot of dances that ended tonight where people sort of went, Is it finished? Yeah, but I mean, look, you know, that was knockout. It was the third or fourth highest score of the series that we got in this show. Yeah. So it just kept going up and up and up as the show went on.
They only dropped 1 point, and really, for what, I don't know, just crazy.
No, crazy, crazy. And I know Craig Revel-Hallward probably has that thing of going, I would never give a 10 in the early stages.
Yeah, but I'm sure he has his little code of practice,
A dance like that, there is no point in not giving a 10. Yeah. That deserved a 10 all day long. So it was a lovely... It was a lovely coda as well to start with the same-sex dancers, the professionals at the start. You end with the same-sex dancers at the end and you go, this is, you know, the stuff that is really the highlight of this series. Yeah. And that was great. I thought it was a shame we didn't still have, like, Len Goodman just to see that moment. I'd have loved him to sort of go, wonderful dancing, unnatural... I didn't like it. I don't care for it. It shouldn't be allowed.
With the dancing. Yep.
I'm not even giving it one, you know.
Because I'm disgusted. He probably likes you. Team Jojo, obviously, and rightfully and righteously at the top of the leaderboard. And Adam and Katia down at the bottom, because, you know, you give a guy a rumba and dress him in a fucking blue suit. suddenly his power base is slipping. So, yes, it was. And we lost Katie McGlynn. And I, like you said, I think it was probably written on the cards. I didn't see it coming myself. But then who else was going to go?
Yeah, I looked at this one, and if I was, I thought that was the right decision. Well done, British public. But I also, who else would you have got rid of in her place? Mm. I mean, I'm still not sure who's going to go next week. I don't think it's a good sign for Judy that she's already in the dance off at this stage.
That's disappointing, because I think she's beloved, but again, she's not being voted for. I think hopefully the fact that she was in a dance off, often you can bounce back up because it galvanises your
fans to actually. Also, don't forget where she was in the show. She was the very first dance, and people do sort of pick up as it goes along. I mean, look, I could see Dan Walker going next week. I could see
maybe Ugo. I don't know, there are people who, depending on the VTs, depending on whether the dance suits them or not, lots of people could be in the frame for this next week.
Yeah, but I mean, the important thing is, look,
depending on like how he does, like, I really don't want Rob to go. I want to see him do all of the dances.
Yeah,
I just think that Rod has to come out of his arse at some point, because I feel like I'm seeing the comedian that I've loved on TV.
I totally agree with you there. And I think, you know, the other thing is, when we're saying who's going to go next week, it's actually easier to say who's in this year's final. And this year's final are AJ Adudu, Reese Stevenson, and John and Johannes.
Team Jojo, no question.
We could almost just say, do you know what, shut the show down, we'll come back for the final, because it's going to be those three.
Should we do that?
I mean, where's the fun in that? Where's the fun? But yeah, look, great to be back, Julia. Thanks so much.
Nice to have you back, I'll admit.
It's all right, isn't it? Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to cancel that restraining order and save myself £16.50 I've taken out against you. Now you've been nice.
Oh, that's so fair. Bless you. I'm outside your house.
Good news. I'm outside yours. This is a disaster. Respect is due. So look, thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. Do tell your friends and your enemies. We don't care who listens, so long as people listen. And we will we'll be back next week. So Julie, would you like to take it away?
Keep
GreatBigOwl.com. Love football? Can't wait for the season to hit its stride. Salivate over Super Sunday? Well, this podcast is probably not for you. If, however, you're tired of the hype, but part of you still loves the game, you could try the famous sloping pitch from Great Big Owl. With Chris England, Nick Hancock and guests. The famous sloping pitch. It's a podcast about football, not market traders.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.